Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace on this Lord's Day. From God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Old Testament and Gospel lessons today have some commonalities. You probably noticed them. We're going to talk about leprosy today. Fox says, good deal. And we're going to talk about insiders and outsiders and attitudes of prayer. This story from 2 Kings chapter 5 has always been an intriguing one to me. Naaman the Syrian, or Naaman the leper, depending on which translation you're reading, they give you the header for the story ahead of time. Now, Naaman, and sometimes I think we read Old Testament stories and we just blow through them and miss all the juicy details. Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, or Aram. A great man in high favor with his master, and because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. This sets the stage for the whole story. Okay? Naaman is the victor. Israel is not. But Naaman is the commander of the king's army in Aram. But Naaman has leprosy. That's kind of a mixed bag. I'm the victor. I have no fingers. See, leprosy is an awful disease. And they used to think it was far more contagious than it actually is. But it caused painful disfigurement in the skin. And your extremities would start to absorb itself. And so Google pictures of leprosy, and it's terrible. But Naaman was a famous commander, and they beat Israel. They beat the Hebrews. So Naaman is something. But he's got leprosy. Well, fortunately for him, his wife has a little slave girl. Here's a strange story, right? Who is a Hebrew girl. And she said, "You know, if my Lord would only go to the prophet who's in Samaria, the prophet of God's people, the prophet of the Hebrew people, he could heal him." So he sends a letter, but he bypasses the prophet, and he sends the letter straight to the king. And the king, who's just been trounced by his army, what would you think? It's like, I don't know, what we would compare it to? Maybe a World Series champion sending for aid from number two. Who does that? But this little Hebrew girl gives hope to Naaman. The king tears his clothes. He's like, I can't heal. I'm not God. But Naaman gets the prophet's attention. The prophet said, I got this. We can make this happen. And so Naaman comes to Elisha's house. I don't imagine Elisha's house is a little elaborate. I don't know. But Naaman drives up with his horses and chariots. You know, picture the Ten Commandments, right? The movie, right? All the grandeur of royalty of the ancient Mideast. And the big music, of course, to go with it. Pulling up to Elijah's house, and I picture Elijah's house is not much. And Elijah sent a messenger saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored. So Elijah doesn't come downstairs. Elijah doesn't come out to meet this very, very important king. Elijah sends a messenger. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored. And Naaman blew his lid. Okay, we don't see these things when we just read on a Sunday morning and we haven't had enough coffee yet. I know this from personal experience. And Naaman is furious. He's like, I thought that for me, he would surely, and I'm reading this straight out of the book, come out and stand and call on the name and wave his hands on the spot and cure the leprosy. For me, for heaven's sakes. I'm the commander of the king's army. And he's about to leave. He's like, and the Jordan? Are not Abana and Farfar the rivers of Damascus far better than the waters of Israel? And he turned and he went away in a rage. Okay, there's a guy that could heal him. And he's trying to set parameters on how his most importantness could get healed. But his servants approached him and said, you know, if the prophets had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? It's almost Halloween, right? So we've all seen the movies and things where, you know, you draw a circle and you hop on one foot and you put your right foot in and your left foot, oh, that's the hokey pokey. But you know what I'm talking about? He wants a complicated spell. He wants something that he has to do to be healed so that he can say he did something. Father, if a prophet commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Lovely story. In the end, right? But that's not the end of the story. You see, Elisha isn't taking any pay for this miracle. The miracle came from God. And so all of the stuff in previously in this chapter that Naaman offered to Elisha, he would not take. But after Naaman is healed, Elisha's servant chases after him. You remember the story? Elisha's servant chases after him and says, "Oh, my master was misspoke. And he said he'd like 2 sets of clothing and about 1,000 pounds of silver and gold. I mean, as long as you were bringing it anyway. You know, I don't want your whole load. I just want some of it." And so Naaman's like, "Yeah, I'm grateful. Of course, here, have a couple of suits of clothing and silver and gold." And when the servant got back to Elisha, Elisha was furious. And the leprosy that had been on Naaman, Elisha transferred to the unfaithful servant. If you want to get teenagers to read the Bible, tell them these wacky stories from the Old Testament. Okay? But it's about greed and gratitude and God's goodness. The man was cured by the word of the prophet of God, who sent him to go wash and be cleansed in the water. Do you understand what Lutherans believe of baptism? Wash and be cleansed by the word of God and the simple earthly element of water. There are no special spells, no special incantations, just the promise of God that in the waters of baptism, you become a child of God. Your sins are washed away. There is nothing you can do to earn it, only to say thank you and to live our lives in gratitude for that gift of new life, that gift of eternal life. And you see, Lutherans and a few others say, you know, infant baptism, we believe in that. If you become a believer later in life, of course we'll baptize you. But we baptize because there's nothing you can do to earn God's love or favor. Only receive it gladly and gratefully. It took Naaman a while to get that lesson, but he got that lesson, and he came away proclaiming there is no other God in all the earth except in Israel. Naaman came to be a believer because it was so easy. Go wash in the water. God will do all the rest. Do we approach our prayers as Naaman does? Your God owes me something. We beat you, by the way. Heal me, God. And I want all the pomp and circumstances that goes with it. You know, perhaps like the TV evangelists. Bam, you're healed. You've seen it. That's usually not that dramatic. Our choir sang this lovely piece about calling out in the night. And isn't that when we encounter God most often? When we are at the end of our rope, and Beth should be up here preaching. She does this so well. When we're at the end of our rope, and we have nothing left to offer or give, and we're empty, and there's nothing in our hands, and we cry out to God, and that's when we encounter God. In that dark night of the spirit, dark night of the soul, God says, "You don't have to come to me with anything, because I am already there us. And so just briefly, we turn to the gospel. 10 lepers come to Jesus. They have hope. I don't know who gave them the hope, but they said, Jesus, Master, heal us. 10 of them. And he did. Now, lepers in that day would have been in community because nobody else wanted to be around them. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. But one turned back and gave thanks. He was the outsider. He was the foreigner. He is the one that didn't have any other community to go back to. And Jesus lifted him up. The other 9 had other things. But the leper who was healed, who was a foreigner, didn't have anything else to go back to. He probably would have stayed with Jesus if Jesus would have let him. But his gratitude made him stand out. We have the love of God unconditionally. It's ours. Washed in the water. Remembered to the body of Christ when we come to communion. It's ours. Will we walk away from hearing those promises and say, well, thanks, Jesus. No, not even thanks, Jesus. See you, Jesus. Or do we live in gratitude? That Jesus has unchained us, set us free, healed us, given us new and eternal life, and there's nothing we can do about it except say thank you. Siblings at First Lutheran, you are about the most grateful crowd that I know. And as other preachers have said, I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm glad to do it. We are here today to remind each other, no matter what happens during the rest of the week, we are always grounded in the gospel, in the good news of a God who will not let us go. Take that good news with you this week. You know people who need to hear it. Don't be afraid to share it. In sharing it, it multiplies for yourself. It just does. I don't know how it works, but when we share Jesus, our peace increases. Our joy increases. Our love increases. Can't even tell you how it works, but it does. So take that. And the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you and remain among you now and forever.